Welcome back to the Pack-A-Day Radio Show. Tommy Wirtz in for Andy Herman, live from the 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Hey, the Brewers fell apart late and lost yesterday to the Rockies. That one was brutal. Gross. Forbes Sports Brewers beat writer Andrew Wagner talks about what went wrong when he joins the Mason Crosby Show, presented by Verizon, the number one network in Milwaukee. That'll be this morning at 10 a.m. on 1250 a.m. 105.7 FM, the Fan. Before we get over to Mitch Thundernellis, got a caller in. John in Franklin, you're on the Pack-A-Day Radio Show. John, how we doing today, my man?
Tommy, we're doing great. Always great to hear your voice, my friend.
What do we got for us, John? You reacting to some of these PFF grades on where they fall on the Packers and Jordan Love stacked up against the rest of the competition heading into next year?
Yeah, absolutely, because that's kind of funny, because I kind of looked some of this up, I don't know, several weeks ago, just kind of curious, because we see, we're out here in Packer country, so we're seeing things, whether we know it or not, through green and gold glasses.
Sure, sure.
And I wanted to, see kind of where people thought we were. And there is no scenario where we deserve to be thought of as an equal with the Lions, or close to the Lions even, or ahead of the Vikings, even though I hate the Vikings.
Yeah.
Okay? Stats are really skewed. Like, our sack numbers aren't that bad, but, we forget that we played the Rams with their entire second string offensive
right.
line.
Right, the Titans
sacks.
Game, they had 8 sacks in the Titans game, they had like 7 sacks in the Saints game.
Correct.
I understand, yeah, John.
You better believe it. And they earned all of this. And if it makes them mad, good. Prove everybody wrong. Jordan was disappointing last year. You can tell me his numbers were pretty good or whatever, but the games that really matter, the games I attended against the division, underwhelming performances all the way through when the games mattered. Now, I know late there was some garbage time catch-up and things got closer, but when it down to down, when it mattered, this was a 1-5 team in the division.
Yeah.
And they need to have, if I was the coach, that would be on the flipping bulletin board, because as a fan it enrages me, because I feel they are better than, I know they're better than that.
Sure,
so
John,
that shouldn't have happened.
John, so you think it's fair to have them as the third best team in the NFC North heading into next season?
I do.
Okay.
I do. And Jordan Love, it's no fault of his own. He came out firing. We all thought we had our third Hall of Famer, right? We come on. And we knew we were getting a little in front of our skis. We had a second year that was a little underwhelming at times, for sure. And now we got a third season where it's prove it. Let's see where we're at. I hope and I want him to prove us all that he's what we want him to be. But he's got to go out there and do it this year, especially against our division, Tommy.
John, thank you so much for calling in, my man. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. Have a great one, my friend.
You too.
There he is. John in Franklin jumps off. You can jump on. Nicolay Law Fan Talk and text line 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. Joining the show now, Mitch Thundernellis. Follow him on Twitter, at ThunderMKE. He is also a co-host of the Mason Crosby Show. One of my all-time friends in the radio business at that as well. How we doing today, Mr. Nellis?
We're good. How you doing, Tommy?
I'm doing very well. I'm doing very well here.
Nice.
And if you've been listening to the Pack-A-Day Radio Show today, which I know you have been, you've been right here during the entire time.
True story.
We are going over some national projections on the Green Bay Packers heading into next season.
Yes.
So before we get into that, the Green Bay Packers offseason, how did you feel about the offseason as a whole for the Green Bay Packers, whether it's from a we're going to draft and develop and not worry about free agency, the limited free agent signings? How did you feel about the Green Bay's offseason?
I think the word that sums it up for me, Tommy, is whelmed.
Okay.
I don't think I was overwhelmed, but I don't think I was underwhelmed. I think they essentially did what I expected them to do. Coming off an offseason where you sign two legitimate stars.
Right.
With McKinney and Jacobs, it does raise your expectations a little bit that maybe the Packers now are going to, every year.
Yeah.
They're
going to
sign a star.
More active every year after that.
And that wasn't the case this year. And I think this year is more the norm. Last year was more the let's be overwhelmed with greatness, make a splash. But in general, I think when we come to when it comes to free agents, I think you know Banks comes in, that's fine. The cornerback comes in from Vegas, that's fine. But I, you know, and then they bring in Golden, and I think we all rejoiced in what we saw at the draft. That was Mark Murphy's moment. That was the moment to really shine. But if you look at the offseason in the entirety, whelmed. Like they did what they were supposed to do. They didn't make any real big splashes. Golden maybe a little bit. But they didn't have any big failings. They didn't lose anybody they couldn't afford to lose. They didn't miss out on signings that they needed to make. You know, the Jair loss is a loss if Jair's there. But if Jair's not there, they're still short in the secondary. They probably could have brought in another cornerback. But nothing major sticks out to me that like they did or didn't do. So I'm just like I'm just whelmed by what they did.
You were saying about the free agency from 2 years ago, right? Like that was such a splash, and yes. that was everything the Green Bay Packer fans have been waiting for over the time to go out and get some big names, right? And then I want to compare that the Packers are trying to maybe satisfy the fan with that feeling to drafting a wide receiver in round one this season, mm-hmm. right? That's something we're not expecting the Green Bay Packers to ever do. They hadn't right. done it in 20 years or right. 22 years, right? And instead of making you feel that feeling in free agency, they made you feel that feeling in the NFL draft. And that's supposed to be the overwhelming feeling of the offseason is the highlights, yep. right? And absolutely. That was the free agency signings from 2 years ago, and it was the draft this year. We're joined by Mitch Thunder Nellis of the Mason Crosby Show. Follow him on Twitter at ThunderMKE. So now, Mitch, I'm going to ask you. You heard some of the rankings from the PFF grades mm-hmm. and comparing them to the Green Bay Packers versus the rest of the NFL.
Yeah.
And when I tell you that the Green Bay Packers were graded the 13th best team in the NFL, the third best team in the NFC North, your reaction to that?
I mean, my first one is kind of one of the things we talked about on the Mason Crosby Show last year, is that like there's no way that in my mind I can trust the Minnesota Vikings. Mm-hmm. You have a quarterback who's never played NFL football before. I don't care how good the rest of your team is. I get it that JJ is one of the wide receivers there. I get it that the defense is pretty good, and that's a really good football team. But I can't put a team with a quarterback who has never played NFL football before in his life
right
ahead of the Green Bay Packers. I just can't do it. And I'm not here to like wave the Packers banner. I'm not here to say the Packers can do no wrong and they're top five or whatever they are. But like for them to be entering the season behind them. Now listen, JJ McCarthy could prove us wrong. And at the end of the year, if the Vikings are better than the Packers, I'll say, hey, he overachieved from where I expected a first-year starter to end up, and that's fine. Like, I'll say that. I'll say it out loud. I'm not embarrassed to say that. But to sit here at the last day of June and say that a team with a quarterback who has never played football before in the NFL, who wasn't even very good in college, like, he was a game manager at Michigan. He handed
He was the fourth drafted QB out of that class.
And you said it last week. He was a handoff merchant.
Yes.
Like he was great at handing the ball to Corum, right?
Right.
To Blake Corum.
And like Edwards, right.
He,
yeah.
he was really good at that. So that's my first problem. When you looked at those rankings, I think when you look at the Packers, and what you said, they were 13th?
13th.
I think the key here is to go through, like, start at 12. And really figure out, do we believe the Packers are better than this team? Now, it wasn't a ranking of who's better. It's who has a better roster.
It's the rosters heading into 2025.
Okay. Which correlates to how good you are, but it isn't exactly the same question.
I agree. You know? I think that you can argue that there are other positions that get weighted heavier yep. in that ranking system.
Strength of schedule is part of it. What division you play in.
Well, and
that
I think that's going to favor Green Bay because they're going to have a third place schedule this year
right.
too,
yep.
which is something that mm-hmm. people need to talk about as well, that the Vikings are going to have to play a second place schedule this year. The Lions lose both their coordinators. And I do agree with John and Franklin that I don't think the Packers are in the same conversation as the Detroit Lions. And
not right now.
Not, as far as roster, mm-hmm. I don't believe so. Yes. Right. We haven't seen enough out of the wide receivers from Green Bay to prove that the weaponry is locked and loaded for Jordan Love. We have some questions on the defensive side with corners as well right now because they let Jair walk and they brought in Nate Hobbs, who's not really a boundary guy. But looking at just some of the names and the teams above the Green Bay Packers, as far as roster construction that they have above them, at number 12, the Los Angeles Chargers.
I mean, honestly, you know, the Chargers are a team that I feel like I really like their roster, but I don't like them as a team. Like, and that's where we get a little confused with this question here is like, especially last year, I thought the Chargers had a really nice roster. They just couldn't translate to wins. And I don't see that changing this year. I like Harbaugh as a coach. I really do.
Yes.
And I think Herbert is a good quarterback, not a great quarterback. And I think they have nice players throughout their roster. But for whatever reason, they're not a team that puts it all together. So I like the Packers better than the Chargers, but the Chargers might have a better roster than the Packers.
I think that...
Does that make sense, or am I weird?
I understand what you're trying to go for here, is that overall, maybe the Chargers are built better to win football games in your mind than the Green Bay Packers.
But I think the Packers will be better, even though the Chargers have a better roster.
I think PFF is cheating and putting Harbaugh above Matt LaFleur on this list.
Which is legit.
And I think
he should be.
I think that that's cheating because if you're going off roster construction, that's not what it is.
That's like my classic argument of I hate when coaches and GMs and owners are on a Mount Rushmore of players.
Right.
I mean, that's a different conversation. You can have those players there, but if you're talking about a roster, that is a 53-man roster. That is independent.
The number seven roster they have on this list, Mitch, is the Houston Texans.
How?
The number seven roster
based on
constructed. CJ Stroud, Joe Mixon, Nico Collins, Christian Kirk, Dalton Schultz, and their offensive line.
Okay.
The defensive side has Danielle Hunter, Will Anderson.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's a bunch of guys you probably never heard of. They have Derek Stingley as a corner, who's very good, and CJ Gardner Johnson just brought in this year, too. But there's no way that the Houston Texans are the seventh best roster in the NFL. That is just complete balderdash. I don't believe it. That is not what they had a season last year where they started strong. Remember, there was so much anticipation for that Packers-Texans game.
And then Nico got hurt, and then they couldn't really recover, and Diggs got hurt.
Pretty underwhelming season after that last year. Had a lot more hope 7 weeks into the year than they did the last 10 weeks of the season.
If you have a better roster, you can overcome that, like, an injury, and they couldn't overcome an injury. That is absolutely ridiculous that the Texans are seventh. That doesn't make any sense to me.
And now the Detroit Lions, they still have
you
near the top.
You just zoomed in, by the way.
Oh, there it is. It is. Let me get it going.
I mean,
there
I enjoyed it,
is.
It personally.
I talk with my hands too. Yeah. You know that.
Yeah.
Mitch Nellis joining the Mason Crosby Show. Follow him on Twitter. The Packaday Radio Show from the Mason Crosby Show. Follow him on Twitter at ThunderMKE. The Detroit Lions, do you still feel that they are a top tier roster constructed in the NFL right now?
Roster constructed, yes. The only thing that could change that for me is if Jared Goff regresses to a point where, like, it was clearly Ben Johnson and had nothing to do with Goff. But as long as Goff is competent this year and doesn't self-destruct, yes, the Lions are in the top tier. Absolutely.
They probably have the best 1-2 running back punch in the league right now between Gibbs and Montgomery.
Man, you love Gibbs. He's so good.
If he wasn't so good, I wouldn't love him as much.
That's fair.
He's so good.
That's a good point.
And I have another piece now from here because I think they are cheating with Jim Harbaugh being above the Chargers, being above the Green Bay Packers on this tier list.
Yep.
But it doesn't affect the Lions in this ranking, it feels like. The Lions are number three because they were a successful team last year.
Yep.
Their team was full of studs.
Yep.
But everyone knows that the cornerback or the coordinators on that team were really calling most of the shots.
Sure.
Offense and defense was called by two coordinators.
Although Campbell's a great leader.
Campbell,
I will say that.
Is a great leader. Well, I have another list here. This one was posted 6 days ago. It is the top 10 head coaches heading into 2025, according to PFF. Dalton Wasserman, again, on this list. So he only goes to 10 on this list.
Yep.
At the top of the list, do you have any guesses?
Andy Reid.
Andy Reid is the number one coach returning back to the team that he was coaching last season, according to PFF.
Yep.
Yes. Do you have a guess as to who number two is?
Dan Campbell.
It is not Dan Campbell.
Ooh, okay. I mean, it could be. There's a lot of guys it could be. So who is it? It's not Sirianni, is it?
It is Sean Payton.
Sean Payton. I mean, listen, Denver overachieved last year. They went 10-7 with a roster that was
Mitch, he's not even the best coach named Sean in the NFL. Sean McVay comes in at number three, and he should absolutely be ahead of Sean Payton on this list. John Harbaugh is number four.
Listen, both went 10-7 last year, and the Rams had a much better roster than the Broncos.
I would agree to that. I can agree with that.
Okay.
John Harbaugh, Baltimore Ravens, number four.
Okay.
Jim Harbaugh is number six.
Yeah.
In between them, Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin is, I think, again, suffering from, I've never missed the playoffs syndrome.
Right.
So that everyone thinks he is this phenomenal, awesome coach. He hasn't won a Super Bowl since before the Packers last won their last Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He has not done much in the playoffs. I don't think he's won a playoff game in almost a decade right now.
It feels like that long. And what I would say to that is, like, yes, we all have this romanticized version of Mike Tomlin. Like, he's tough. He talks tough. He's smart. He overachieves with bad rosters, and he does do that. But he's not him anymore. He's just not. I would still have Tomlin probably 10th, 9th, 11th, probably on that list somewhere. But just, I don't know. Maybe he is that good. Maybe they're a 5-12 team that he gets to 10-7 every year.
Do you know where Matt LaFleur is on this list?
Probably 13th.
He's not on the list. He is not in the top 10.
Oh, yeah. No, he's
not
in the top
10. And they only go up to 10 right now. They are rounding it out.
I agree with that. LaFleur's not in my top 10.
Kyle Shanahan, Nick Sirianni, Dan Campbell, Kevin Stefanski is at number 10 of the Cleveland Browns.
What? That's... I mean, has he done
he won
something?
Coach of the Year a few years ago, right? When it was Joe Flacco. When the Browns made a little run with Baker Mayfield,
yes,
he won it.
Yes,
with Baker. Joe Flacco obviously going to be the quarterback this year.
Yeah. Or not.
I still believe that Matt LaFleur is a better head coach than probably two people on this list. Stefanski and Tomlin being
probably
on this list.
Tomlin.
Is kind of disrespectful to Matt LaFleur.
That is a career achievement award. That's what he gave to Tomlin on here. It's not like he gave him the career achievement award. He didn't give him...
Well, they did the same thing with Sean Payton.
Yeah, except that, again, last year, Sean Payton took a 5-12 team and got to 10-7 with
what
them.
A slap in the face to Nick Sirianni after winning the Super Bowl last year, and you have him at 8.
I mean, people don't think he's a great coach. People think they won because they're that good, and that he got out of the way and didn't make enough mistakes. But that doesn't mean he's a great coach. I can make the argument John Harbaugh's won. John Harbaugh has been getting it done at Baltimore forever, especially in the regular season, not necessarily in the playoffs. But like, John Harbaugh could be, after Andy Reid, the best coach. I can make that easy argument. So I think, listen, even PFF wants the clicks, Tommy. Even they are going to throw a few wrinkles into every list they make, because that's all lists are. That's all power rankings are. That's why I hate power rankings. That's why I hate these lists, because all they are is clickbait for us. And listen, it just gave us a segment, right? We're in Wisconsin, so we're mad that Matt LaFleur's not on our list. Well, some other fan base is mad that their coach isn't on the list, or that their coach isn't higher on the list.
Do you think that the Packers, Jordan Love, Matt LaFleur are criticized or hurt by this list because they are relying on development because of the lack of offseason moves, acquisitions this year, and they are relying on uncertainty more than they are on established players?
Yes and no. I mean, they still signed the two guys from last year.
Right.
So they still have that. Who's Washington's head coach?
Is
it Brian something?
No, the Commanders' head coach is Dan Quinn. It's Dan Quinn, remember. Yes.
Okay. So did Dan Quinn not prove last year that he's a top 10 coach?
You would think getting to the NFC Championship game.
They went 12-5 and got to the NFC Championship game with no expectations, with a rookie quarterback. I mean, I'd have Dan Quinn on my top 10. just based, if this is based on like right now, today, who are the best coaches? Like, how do you not have Dan Quinn on that list? Dan Quinn, there's nothing more he could have done last year.
Also, another career achievement guy. He's coached in the Super Bowl. He lost, obviously, game with the Falcons. And he's been a great coordinator that ended up landing him another head coaching job.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Matt LaFleur, Jordan Love, and maybe even the Green Bay Packers, a little bit disrespected on this list. And I don't believe they are going to win the NFC North. I still think that I would favor Detroit despite losing their coordinators because of the success, because of the roster construction. I would favor Detroit. But I don't think that you can favor. Also, if they're going to have the Minnesota Vikings at number 8 and Kevin O'Connell's not in the top 10 coaches right now.
That's bizarre.
Makes no sense.
They must love the roster. I mean, again, there's a separation of roster and head coach. They must think he's not a great head coach, but they love the roster. It's not a prediction of where the teams will finish next year. This is the talent that has been assembled. And then, they would probably argue when they come out with their season predictions that Minnesota will not be very great because they have a great roster, but not a great coach. And so they will probably underachieve. I just want to give out one more thing about why the Packers and LaFleur are being hurt. You look at, I have last year's standings, top to bottom, the league standings, okay?
Yes.
So the Lions go 15-2, 6-0 in their conference. The Chiefs go 15-2, 5-1 in their conference. The Packers go 11-6, 1-5 in their conference. If you look at just conference records, you have to go all the way down to the 6-11 49ers to find the next team that finished under 500 in their conference. You figure out, you go 3-3 in your conference, and all of this goes away. And the Packers are in the top 10, and LaFleur's in the top 10. Because you're 13-4. You go 500 in your conference, and all of these arguments go away, and the Packers prove themselves.
Mitch Thunder and Ellis joining the Packaday Radio Show. Follow him on Twitter, at ThunderMKE. One more thing before I get you out of here, Mitch, and then you'll get all set up.
Oh, boy, here we go.
Spiffy nice for the Mason Crosby Show coming up just about 15 minutes from now. After hearing all this and trying to remove all green and gold glasses, like John and Franklin had said, projecting just based on the offseason, based on expectation, the Green Bay Packers will finish blank place in the NFC North next year.
The Green Bay Packers will finish in second place in the NFC North next year.
Behind the Detroit Lions?
Behind the Detroit Lions. It'll be 13-4 to 12-5, or 12-5 to 11-7. It'll finish one game.
What do you think the divisional record is? It's got to be better.
I think it's 3-3.
Okay. Splitting with everyone?
Yeah. Splitting with everyone. Yeah. I think they beat the Bears twice, though. Like, maybe they go 4-2. Maybe they do get to 12-5.
Okay.
You know what? I think they go 4-2. I think they split.
Just convinced yourself
I did. Well, it's also convincing myself that the Bears still suck, which is fun for all of us, right?
We try to remove all the green and gold glasses, but that'll never get removed there. Yeah. Mitch Thunder and Ellis joining the Packaday Radio Show. Mitch, anything you want to plug, anything you want to get off your chest here? How was Strawberry Fest yesterday? Did you go to Strawberry Fest?
I did go to Strawberry Fest yesterday. It was great. We had the strawberry lemonade. We had a little strawberry shortcake. Also, Saturday, I got to be the guest umpire for the Badger Marquette celebrity softball showdown there in Oconomowoc with the Lake Country Dockhounds. That was a lot of fun.
What was the final in that one?
I think 12-10 Badgers.
Okay.
I think 12-10.
As usual, at top. Nice.
Yeah. They lost on a walk-off home run by Novak last year. This year, they dominated. We'll talk more about that during the show as well.
Awesome. Great. Thank you so much, Mitch. Have a great rest of your day. I'll talk to you in 10 minutes, all right?
Perfect. Sounds good.
It's the Packaday Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. When we come back, final thought of the day. We'll get you guys all wrapped up here on the Packaday Radio Show and ready to go for the Mason Crosby Show from 9 a.m. to 11 today. It's the Packaday Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook.